Inside, you check every stall and shower. They're all empty. The shower walls are dry, so are the sinks. Back outside, you pause halfway between the latrine and the cabins, your head cocked, straining to hear signs of the girls hidden among all the buzzing and chirping, and water gently lapping the lakeshore 50 yards away. There's nothing. The camp itself is completely silent. A sense of isolation drops onto your shoulders, and for a moment, you wonder if the whole camp is cleared out, leaving only you behind. More horrible scenarios fill your thoughts. Cabins emptying in a frenzied, worried rush, you sleeping right through it. You head back to the cabins, circling them quietly, listening for signs of life. There are 20 cabins in all, laid out in a tiny grid covering a patch of cleared forest. You wind your way around them, fully aware of how ridiculous you look, dressed in nothing more than a tank top and a pair of boxer shorts, dead pine needles and pathway mulch sticking to your bare feet. Each cabin is named after a tree. Yours is dogwood. Next door is maple. You check the names of each, trying to pick one the girls might have wandered into. You picture an impromptu sleepover. You begin to squint into windows and crack open unlocked doors, scanning the double-decker rows of sleeping girls for signs of additional campers. In one of the cabins, Blue Spruce, you startle a girl awake. She sits up in her bottom bunk, a gasp caught in her throat.
"Sorry,"
you whisper before closing the door.
"Sorry, sorry."
You make your way to the other side of the camp, which normally bustles with activity from sunrise until twilight. Right now, though, sunrise is still just a promise, nothing but faint pinkness inching above the horizon. The only activity involves you marching toward the sturdy mess hall. In an hour or so, the scent of coffee and burnt bacon should be wafting from the building. At the moment, there's no smell of food, no noise. You try the door, it's locked. When you press your face to a window, all you see is a darkened dining room, chairs still stacked atop long rows of tables. It's the same at the Arts and Crafts building next door. Locked. Dark. This time, your window peak reveals a semicircle of easels bearing the half-painted canvases of yesterday's lesson. You had been working on a still life, a vase of wildflowers beside a bowl of oranges. Now you can't shake the feeling the lesson will never be completed. The flowers always half-painted, the bowls forever missing their fruit. You back away from the building, rotating slowly, contemplating your next move. To your right is the gravel drive that leads out of camp, through the woods, to the main road. You head in the opposite direction, right into the center of camp, where a mammoth log frame building sits at the end of a circular drive. The lodge, the place where you least expect to find the girls. It's an unwieldy hybrid of a building, more mansion than cabin, a constant reminder to campers of their own meager lodgings. Right now, it's silent, also dark. The ever-brightening sunrise behind it casts the front of the building in shadow, and you can barely make out its beveled windows, its fieldstone foundation, its red door. Part of you wants to run to that door and pound on it until Franny answers. She needs to know that 3 girls are gone. She's the camp director, after all. The girls are her responsibility. You resist because there's a possibility you could be wrong, that you overlooked some important place where the girls might have stashed themselves, as if this were all a game of hide and seek. Then there's the fact that you're reluctant to tell Franny until you absolutely must. You've already disappointed her once. You don't want to do it again. You're about to return to deserted dogwood when something behind the lodge catches your eye, a strip of orange light just beyond its sloped back lawn. Lake midnight, reflecting sky. "Please be there," you think. "Please be safe. Please let me find you." The girls aren't there, of course. There's no rational reason they would be. It feels like a bad dream, the kind you dread the most when you close your eyes at night. Only this nightmare has come true.